this service. Well, we're going to start, and let's pray and ask God's blessings upon this service tonight or today. Heavenly Father, we love you. We're so grateful to be in this house, so grateful for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for all that you do and all that you've done. Thank you, Father God, for keeping many people out of harm's way throughout the Dallas region. Father, we do pray for those who lost family and lost possessions. I pray for the body of Christ that would rise up in that area and be a help to the community to rebuild, to replenish, and to show the love of Christ in a mighty way. Father, I ask now that you would hide me behind the shadow of the cross, that you'd give me the voice of a thousand cannons, that I'll be able to speak this word thundering of truth, not for self, Father God, but for you, for your glory, so that those that are deaf in their hearing, they will hear clearly what's being said by heaven. Father, I love you today, and I bless you. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for without you we can do nothing. And hide me now behind the shadow of the cross, in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody say amen and amen. I want to just give you a quick heads up. This is not going to be a message for the weak-hearted, and this is not going to be a message for those who are snowflakes and things bother you real quick. So I need to tell you that right now. So if you need to go into your panic room, you can go ahead and do that now and find yourself a safe place. And I do say that with some humor, but the reality of the hour is this is not a laughing matter by how we are living as a nation and how God views this nation. The president can get up and tout how well he's done in 100 days, but God can look upon America and say, I've seen what you've done in the last 100 months or 100 years. And I would rather go by the evaluation of a heavenly Father who knows all, sees all, is everywhere, than someone who has a political agenda. Would you say amen? This message that I'm going to minister to you is an update of what I just released the other day. And let me give you a little bit of backdrop. There's some in this church that you don't have internet access. You're not familiar with the message that I've released to the body of Christ. And it's just really hard to release a prophetic word in that type of way when we are in, you know, areas, rural areas where we don't have internet. I just can't text an entire word like that. And I had no intentions of getting a word. It just happened to be so. So on Tuesday, April 25th, after several times the Lord speaking to my heart, Ezekiel chapter 5, I finally got up and I read Ezekiel 5 and was, you know, very troubled and moved in my heart. And then he spoke specific words to me, which I'm going to read to you today as a body. And for those that are already aware of this, there's some other insight the Lord has given me. And now I'm going to preach this word. Now, there's a difference between speaking the word in front of a camera to be able to get the word out. There's a whole other thing to preach it with an unction and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so I'm going to do that this morning. Again, I had no intentions for this word to do what it has done already. We've YouTube, I think it's over 23,000 views now of this word. Really, the word was intended for just those I know out on Facebook and whoever in the church. And the Lord said, send it out to specific people. And I did. And so right now that is, I don't know if that's considered viral. I have no idea. I just know that's a lot of folk. And over 12,000 have viewed it on our website. So that's quite a few people. And we just thank the Lord for that. Say, what does that mean? Well, that means the word is getting out. The warning is getting out. And I hope people are taking precautions and getting prepared. And the number one preparation you can do is getting your house right with God. And also, we've had over 333 new subscribers just in a couple days to our YouTube channel. So we just give the Lord praise for that and honor and all the glory. Is that okay to give you a little bit of update? What the Lord is doing. You know, we don't care about popularity in this church. We don't care about names and numbers and nickels and noses. What we care about is the name of Jesus being glorified, because you can't take anything with you. And when you get to heaven, all you get is what you got. Let me try that again. All you get is what you got. Whatever goes through that fire, whatever comes out at the end, that gold, that's yours. That's your reward. Other than that, you don't take anything with you. So let me speak this word to you that I shared with America, really the body of Christ, that I believe is very powerful for this hour. Again, it was Ezekiel chapter 5, but here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, the cup of America's sin is full and overflowing. She has been blinded by her success. She has been fooled by the glitter of her gold. Her skirts will be raised, and all will see her nakedness and her age. Wrinkled by sin, contaminated by sin, America the great whore will be exposed. Your coasts are vulnerable to the beasts of the sea. I believe that was speaking of military invasion. I believe the Lord put that in my heart very clearly. Your skies have no eyes for your enemy to see. We tout that we have the greatest intelligence services and all these different apparatuses for protection. But when you are against God and God is against you, you have no protection. And we need to remember that. Blinded, wretched, miserable, you will be too weak to fight and your enemy will get the victory. You have no defense, America, but me. You refused me. You rejected me. Now the nations will see what a nation looks like when abandonment comes. Remember this, God never turns his back on anybody. We turn our back on God. For my church, my true flock, hide in me, cling to me, and abide in my shadow. And as my hands pass over this nation, I will protect you, for I have marked you and sealed you unto the day of redemption. And then he said this, stay true. Stay true. So the title of this message this morning is called Ezekiel chapter 5, Prophetic Update. The Lord instructed me this morning as I was preparing. I did not care how many people had watched this. I didn't care about any of those things. So I said, whatever you want to do, you know, whatever his desire is, let's do that. And then he spoke to me that. He said, Ezekiel chapter 5, the prophetic update. He said, I want you to preach this word. I want you to preach my word. And I said, okay, yes, sir. That's what I'm going to do. If you've listened to my video podcast, and when you watch my interview with Len Liaz later today or this week, you're going to hear some things you did not hear in that interview or in that message, and some prophetic insights that are fresh from God this morning. Is that okay? Ezekiel chapter 5, again, if you're weak-hearted and weak-kneed and you just, you know, you need a timeout break or something like that, now's a good time to go ahead and get that break. Because what I'm going to share with you, the Church of America and the nation itself, however far this message will go, is very blunt. And I believe this is going to be one of the most powerful messages that I've preached this year. And I think anytime we speak on the Word of the Lord, it's powerful, but there's something different about this one. There's something different about the atmosphere of what's taking place in our nation. You can feel it. You can feel change. You can feel the suddenlies that are about to take place. Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 1. Now, let me give you just a quick backdrop. This is talking about Jerusalem. It's talking about judgment that was coming to Israel, to the people of God, because of their sin. And God was raising up an enemy, the Chaldeans, to bring forth judgment. And look at verse 1. And thou, son of man, take thee a sharp knife, and take thee a barber's razor, and cause it to pass upon thine head and upon thy beard. Then take the balance to weigh and divide the hair. First of all, it's not really speaking of a razor as you would think of this day, but of a sword. And the prophet, he represented the nation. And I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ represents the nation of America. As the church goes, so goes the nation. And prophetically, we have an illustrated sermon of the prophet standing, and he represented the nations. And the hair upon his head and upon his beard, it represented the people. And he told him to shave it. He told him to cut it. And that sword represented the enemy, the Chaldeans, that there had become a shave, a cutting, a removal of the people from that land. And by cutting the beard and the hair, it represented the calamities and the sorrows that would take place. It was even a representation of disgrace and mourning. So the prophet was given a job. He was given a responsibility to show forth to his nations the repercussions for their sin, for the reward of their sin. And in America today, we cannot find preachers who will stand behind a pulpit with a microphone in one hand, a Bible in the other, and declare the sin of their nation because they're too afraid of the political repercussions of boards and committees and denominations. They're too worried about what Mr. and Mrs. Big Bucks would have to say and shut them down and take away their salaries and take away all their benefit packages and so on and so forth. And many would even send them packing down the road. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so he was required to do this. As I give you this backdrop, you need to understand that even the lepers were supposed to remove their hair from their head and their beards as a sign of being cleansed. And for you and I today, this represents the reality that there is spiritual leprosy in the American church today. There's spiritual leprosy in our nation today. It's called sin. It's called unrighteousness. And God says, I have an issue with it. God says there comes a time when I will deal with the unrighteous and for those that dwell in sin, especially inside the house of God. And he said to take and to balance it, to weigh that hair. I want you to know that what God is about to do to this nation, he has balanced it perfectly according to the weight of our sin. He still is a just God. There are many thinking that God will not allow judgment to come to this nation. There are many that are thinking that he is just all love and that he will never respond in anger and respond in righteousness. Well, you don't know God, and you surely don't know the Bible, because the wages of sin is death. And God has a righteous indignation that he has full sovereign right to release upon a nation, not because he wants to, but because our cup is overflowing. Some of y'all allow your children to do what they want to do without any repercussion, without any type of action of discipline. Honey, your God isn't that way. He doesn't parent like Dr. Spock. Now, little Johnny, you need to go in there and sit the little time out over there. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And because we've used that philosophy in our parenting today, we've raised up a bunch of little hellions, little bats out of hell. Wish I had somebody help me. And that's why we have children killing their parents and killing grandparents, because their parents and grandparents won't allow them to do a certain thing or go to a certain place or won't give them money or keys to this or to that, so they just take their lives. Somebody help me preach this. So leprosy is upon our nation. Leprosy was upon the nation of Israel. And so he took those equal parts, and they represent the degrees and kinds of punishments. I want you to know that God will allow sin, he will allow the judgment of sin to come upon the nation, and there will be increments of judgment. We've been in judgment. We've been in a soft form of judgment. Even though people think there's been a reprieve, there's been no reprieve. We're still living in very dangerous days. Watch again in verse 2. And thou shalt burn with fire a third part in the midst of the city when the days of the siege are fulfilled, and thou shalt take a third part and smite about it with a knife, and a third part you will scatter in the wind, and I will draw out a sword after them. So God is giving clear instructions to the prophet that I'm going to allow judgment to take place in increments. I'm going to allow levels of punishment to take place in certain parts of the city, in certain parts of that nation, until he is completely satisfied and fulfilled. The Bible declares in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 20, that there are hired swords waiting to do the will of God. There's hired swords that are out there. When God had Isaiah prophesy to Israel and say, there's hired swords. There's swords waiting to do the judgment of God. They're waiting to do the will of God. And we are ignorant and blind, and we are full of pride in America that we do not believe that God would use the same type of punishment. I want you to know something. There's a hired sword waiting for America. We live in this pomp and circumstance type of nation where we think that we're untouchable, that nobody can do anything to us. I want you to know something. There are other nations of the world that have weapons too. There are other nations that have armies too. Come on, somebody. There's other nations that God will use, as he did the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Chaldeans and all the others, to bring forth his righteous cause to an unrighteous nation. And we're too ignorant. We're too drunk with our own success. We're touting all of the things that we've done and all the progress that we've made over the last 100 days. And the nation is no better, no moral, but no more righteous, no more holier than we were 101 days before. We're a nation that's turned against God. And we say, God bless America. There's a hired sword waiting. And I want you to know they're here. The enemy is not coming. The enemy is here. We have haters of this nation. We have destroyers of this nation that are here, and they could be right down the road from you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But it's arrogancy, and it's ignorance, and it's so much pride that it can't happen in this nation. Verse 3, thou shalt also take thereof a few in number and bind them in thy skirts. This isn't a message that's full of doom and gloom. This is a message of hope, because inside of the skirts, those hairs will be woven into, represents that there will be a remnant that is hidden in the very shadow of God's hands. And I believe that as he allows the enemies to do what they're going to do in this nation, that he's going to watch over his people, those that are sold out and love him. And so my heart is fully comforted in this fact. Verse 4. Then take of them again and cast them into the midst of the fire and burn them in the fire, for thereof shall fire come forth into all the house of Israel. I truly believe that part of the judgment that God is going to bring upon this nation will be fire. Not just fire in the natural, but fire in the spiritual realm, where the increase of wickedness will begin to rise up in our nation as we've never seen before. Statistics are already proven that witchcraft has become mainstream. Witchcraft is now in the house of God. New Age philosophy is now in the house of God. Mainline denominations are preaching New Age theory and New Age philosophy and New Age doctrines of devils. And nobody's standing up and saying anything against it. Nobody's challenging the entertainment, Christian entertainment business complex, and telling them that these movies you're sending us, these books that you're sending us, are wrong and they don't line up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's spiritual leprosy in the house of God. But nobody wants to challenge the CEO of the church. Nobody wants to challenge the man or a woman standing behind the microphone and standing in front of a camera. No, nobody wants to challenge them doctrinally. There's a rise of witchcraft in America. Witchcraft does not have to come with a pitchfork and horns. It can come in a very nice suit from Madison Avenue. It can come from the man who has a silver tongue, or the woman with a silver tongue, who can articulate and pronounce every word right and make you awe and ooh while along you are eating the bread off of the devil's table. I'm about to preach, so hang on. I'm just giving you a little bit of understanding of where we're headed. Is that okay? He said, take it, because there's going to be a fire. There's going to be a fire in the house of Israel. I believe there's coming civil unrest in America like we've never seen before. Not only just social issues, but racial issues and financial issues in this nation. It's coming. It's coming. Everybody thinks that the fires of last year, all of the riots and the things of last year is all quelled down and it's all gone away. We just fixed the issues and everything's wonderful. Honey, it's brewing underneath the very fabric of America, underneath the very skin of America. We have racism at an all-time level. We have schisms at an all-time level. We have societal difference and financial differences at an all-time level. Something's got to give because this is unsustainable. There was a recent survey in L.A. that says there's a high percentage of belief that another riot's going to break out in L.A. I'm not prophesying it. I'm just telling you what they said. That's natural news. But what is that? That's an indicator of what's happening in the spirit because people are not getting along. Things are not well. Things are not great. America is not any better. Fire's coming. Fire's coming to this nation. I also believe it'll be natural fires as well. Watch this, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord. Thus who? Saith the Lord. Not your favorite preacher. Thus saith the Lord. The Lord God. This is Jerusalem. Why don't you go ahead and put America? This is America. This is America. Everything I'm fixing to preach to you right now prophetically is America. Are you ready? You got your seatbelt on. I have set it in the midst of the nations and countries that are round about her. God says, look, this is America. I've put you in the greatest position of all nations of the world. There is no nation like America when you think about our heritage and you think about our inventions and you think about our technology and you think about our conveniences and you think about all the great things that we have in America. America, America, America the great. God says, I set you among all the nations. I gave you the greatest opportunity to do with the gospel as you were supposed to do. I gave you the riches of the world. And if you don't believe me and you think you're having a hard time, you need to come overseas with me. You need to go to some neighborhood that you're too afraid to go into and find out what poverty really is. Some of y'all need to come with me down to Miami or maybe to Chicago or some other part of New York and see the poverty that's in America. It would astound you. Some of y'all haven't smelt a homeless person in a while. Some of you haven't rubbed up against somebody who doesn't have as much as you do. Listen, we are a nation that is prosperous, and you got it better than you recognize and realize you do. The problem with America is we have forgotten who made us great, who blessed us, and who provided for us. And he said, this is Jerusalem. And I'm telling you, this is America. Verse 6. And she hath changed my judgments. She's changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations. God says, I gave you the gospel. I gave you this truth. I gave you the opportunity to spread it to the nations of the world. I gave you the opportunity to preserve holiness and consecration and give it to the world and show them what righteousness looks like and show them what holiness looks like. But we've taken this word and we've perverted it. We've taken this word and we've thrown it. We've turned it from being good and being righteous into lasciviousness and all kinds of debaucheries. We've changed the statutes. We've changed the word of God. We have preachers now who will stand behind the pulpit and will admit that they are homosexual and will admit that everything's just fine with them. There are those that will stand behind the pulpit who are females and say that they're lesbian and God has no problem with that. There are those who will stand behind the pulpit and say, I've got no problem having another wife or someone on the side. I wish y'all would help me. And all this craziness that's gone on, and we've changed the word of God. We teach and we preach today, you can live any way you want to and still make heaven. My Bible doesn't say that. My Bible declares that you must confess with the tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord and live a life of holiness, continually seeking his face. And if you sin, you have an advocate with you called Jesus, who's right before the Father making intercession for you. Perversion. perversion going on in our pulpits today, allowing people to live however they want to within the congregation and never challenging them for their sin, never telling them that they need to try to work on that marriage. No, come on, man, you just get you another one. You can trade in that 40 and get two 20s. Two, one's bad enough. Is anybody here today? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You're not married. Help me, church. He said, you changed my, what, look at this nation. Look how we've taken the gospel and anything goes today. Anything goes. You can write a book about something crazy that's completely out of doctrinal truth. It's out of whack. It's out of line. And people will buy it by the multiplied millions. But you write a book about holiness and consecration. You get up on YouTube and talk about getting right with God and praying and fasting and staying before Him and being in love with Him. People shut you off and turn you down. Because we don't want to hear it no more, preacher man. We're tired of hearing your doom and gloom. We're tired of brimstone and hell. But I'm going to tell you something. The reality is this, that people are waking up in America, the remnant sharing the gospel, the remnant is witnessing and telling folks about what's taking place in America. And there's a movement of revival that you know not of. I'm excited to be a part of that. I'm excited to be a part of the great movement of God. Go back to verse 6, watch this. She hath changed my judgments into wickedness more than the nations. Listen to me, more than the nations. I'm giving you a report from the Lord, whether you want to believe me or not. I'm giving you a prophetic insight from God. We have changed the word of God and we become more wicked than the nations. Can I just give you a good analogy and a good understanding of this? The Muslim people are more righteous in their ways and are more faithful to their God than the Christian is here in America. The Hindu is more faithful to the 300 million gods they serve than we do to the God Jehovah, Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth. You say, how is that? Because at least they don't pervert the truth that's a lie, but at least they don't depart from what they have. They stay faithful to it, and we can't get people to come to church. You're not here with me today. And people get mad about that. They'll get all upset about that. But I'm going to tell you something. They're more faithful to their pagan gods than we are to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can barely get in the house of God, and then we get here, we act like, well, move me, preacher. Well, I've had a bad week and I'm pissed off. What are you going to do about it, preacher man? You better kick up a good song there, praise and worship, dude, and do that because I ain't moving. You better put some Colombian coffee back there and get me stirred because I had a rough night last night playing Nintendo. Listen, what a man or a woman is willing to blow themselves up for a god of the devil, for unrighteousness, and you can't even get into the house of God and pray and read your Bible and pay your tithe and do the right thing you're supposed to do, I doubt your salvation. And the nations of the world have become more righteous than we are. God ain't asking you to blow nothing up. What God is asking you to do is show up and love Him with all your heart. Can't even get it. Can't even get preachers to go before the throne and say, God, what do you want me to say? Oh, I can't do that because I got Bishop Tutu called me up and he says, I got to preach this. Or I just got this little quarterly magazine. I got to talk about missionaries this week. And next week we got to talk about the orphans. And then after that week we got to bless the animals in the church. I wish I had somebody to help me in this Pentecostal church. This is the reality of America, and we're in trouble with God because we've lost our way with Him. And we can't find preachers to preach this anymore because all they want to do is preach about their playboy lifestyle and say, come on and be like me, stunning, wonderful person I am. What happened to those who went by the Apostle Creed and lived by the truth of the Word of God, who sacrificed and said, God, I'll follow you, yet none follow me, I still will follow you. Carry my cross daily. I exalt thee with all of my heart, God. It's you and you and only you and no other way. Pagan gods, and they serve them and they take care of their families better than we do here in America. I told you, if you're a snowflake, hit panic button now. Get you an app Is anybody here with me? You say he's mad. I ain't mad at nobody, but I'm warning the Church of America. I'm warning this nation. Judgment is here and judgment is coming, and we have bitten off more than we can possibly chew. Watch. You've changed my statutes above the nations, and my statutes more than the countries that are round about her. For they have refused my judgments and my statutes, and they have not walked in them. Do you see what God is saying? The Church of America, for the most part, has refused to walk in the righteousness and the holiness of God. If God said marriage is between a man and a woman, then that's what he said, and you better live by it, or you will be damned for it. If God said that you are a man at birth, you are a man at birth, and your desire should be towards a woman and a woman towards a man, there's something wrong with you. It's called a devil. Nobody wants to talk about it. We want to have therapy about it and counseling, and I understand all the things that are out there, but the revelation knowledge in the Word today is this, that we have changed what God said so we can make everybody happy and everybody show up at our church and just love us and give us all kinds of money and accolades and call me friend. Honey, I want you to call me my friend, but I'm not going to let you go to hell. You can call me friend, but I'm not going to stand before God and God say, why didn't you tell them that they were in sin? Why didn't you try to keep your congregation as far away from hell as possible to only go there on evangelism day? The only day I want to go to hell is on evangelism day. I just go out and evangelize, go to hell and come back. But most church folks got everything camped out right there at hell. Honey, if you get near the riverbank, you're going to fall in. Get your eyes off of pornography, young man. Get your eyes off pornography, young lady. Old ones, too. Wish I had somebody help me today. Feel like I got the weight of the world by myself, but I'm going to keep moving. Watch this now. They've not walked in them. We don't preach anymore holiness and righteousness. I'm telling you, I watch people, and I get on Christian television, I'll see something, and I'm just like, oh my God, we're at a seminar. Now, I don't expect everybody to spit and sputter and sweat like I do, but the reality is there's people going to hell in a handbasket, and you're standing behind a $100,000 camera, and all you can do is stand there and talk about how wonderful life is. While somebody's clicking you off and committing suicide. While somebody's clicking off and shooting up the beast inside of them through drugs and alcohol and all kinds of craziness. And you're going to stand behind there and be mamsy-pamsy about it all. You say, Pastor, you sound like an alarmist. Today I'm an alarmist. I'm sounding the alarm, man. The nation's going to hell. God gave me a word about it. He woke me up and I like to sleep. I didn't sleep very well at all last night. I don't know about all you all hanging out with your baby bottle and your blanket, but last night I was stirred up. I couldn't sleep. So you better hang on. I'm going to give it to you here. You changed my ways. You changed my laws. I don't have a right as a preacher to listen to somebody else or read a book and come in there and go contrary to what God says. If God said it, I believe it. I have to preach it. I have to declare it to the highest tops. It's not just homosexuality, it's not just lesbianism, it's not just all that craziness out there. We're talking about people that are fornicating like rabbits everywhere. In the church. Hooking up. Coming to the house of God to hook up. I've had it in my own church, and I knew it, and I called it out, and they still denied it and found out later on they were hooking it up. Anybody here today? And we changed this blessed truth called the Bible so that we can make people happy around us, so people don't feel offended. Well, you know, if your pastor just toned it down a little bit, maybe so-and-so would have stayed, and maybe so-and-so would come, and maybe I can bring my friend or a family member, but I don't know now. Don't invite them because it's going to get worse. Don't invite them because it's going to get hotter in this kitchen and I'm going to serve up the truth. And if God says the nation has changed the laws and we know it's true, do you think God's happy with it? I'm telling you, preachers will be exposed. Major exposures coming to the body of Christ. I've been prophesying that a long time. And all the other watchmen and prophets and whoever has been speaking, there's coming major exposure to the body of Christ. You need to get your house in order. I'll tell you something the Lord shared with me in just a few minutes during, after the conversation for my interview with Lynn Leons. It was powerful. But I'm gonna wait. Verse 7. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you multiplied more than the nations. Excuse me, does this sound like America? Look at us. We're talking about the Mayflower. We're talking about little boats. We're talking about some people coming and sacrificing their lives to come here to cause this nation to be born. This little small entity was so fragile. You need to read the history of America. You need to read the founding, how that they were almost destroyed because of disease and because of the Native Americans and all the stuff, the Native Indians, all the stuff that went on. It was so fragile, yet God had his eyes upon America. None is like America. Nobody preaches the gospel like we do in America, sends it through satellite and all kinds of shortwave and all kinds of radio waves across the planet. Nobody's like America. He said, I multiplied you more than the nations that are round about you, and you have not walked in my statutes, neither have kept my judgments, neither have done according to the judgments of the nations that are around about you. There's the comparison. He said, the nations around you are more righteous than you are. See, I'm afraid to mention certain nations because then somebody say, well, why don't you just go there then and you're supporting them and all. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some nations that are passing laws against abortion. There's nations that are passing laws against all kinds of craziness that we allow to take place in America. Do you know you can't go overseas and watch the filth that we have on our television stations? Some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. Everybody thinks life is HBO. The whole world is HBO. The whole world is Netflix. The whole world lives like we do. No, they don't. There are Muslim countries that you cannot even see the skin of a woman. But we got it hanging everywhere. In the house of God, too. Y'all ain't helping me now. Now y'all looking mean. It's the truth. And this is a comparison that God is giving. He said the pagan nations are acting more righteous than you are. Russia has stood up against homosexuality and said it won't be in our society. Why? Because they recognize and realize it doesn't work. It's wrong. You want to depopulate your country? Go ahead and allow it to be rampant and you will have depopulation. Oh, well, we'll find ways to do it. Yeah, I know. I know Frankenstein. You'll find a way to do it. Y'all ain't helping me today. I feel like I'm at a Presbyterian camp meeting. About to pass out the communion cups. The nations of the world are passing laws. The African nations, whom President Obama at the time tried to bring in abortion, said no to it. Here in America, we'll take the hand out immediately. Give us the money. Show us the money, man. We'll do whatever. We'll compromise that. God understands, man. It's just flesh anyway. Just blob. Church of America is backslidden. The Church of America is lukewarm at best. We've lost our way. We've lost our way because we can't find preachers to stand up. We can't find schools of ministry to raise up Holy Ghost-filled preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a bunch of psychologists standing behind the pulpit. I'm not a psychologist, and I can't spell it either. But I tell you what I got a relationship with God, and I got an anointing of the Holy Ghost that'll break every single yoke of bondage over your life if you let it. Verse 8, therefore thus saith God, Behold, I. Everybody say I. Even I. I noticed that. He had to three times, Brother Mike. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I. He's just letting everybody know this ain't the deep state. He's letting everybody know this ain't the New World Order. He's letting everybody know this ain't the beast system Satan. He's letting everybody know that it is I, even I, that is going to deal with you. You move me out of the way. You can shut me up and shut me off or whatever you need to do. But I, even I, the Lord God, is going to do this. I'm against thee. Do you not understand? And all of our pomp and circumstance and all of our religiosity and all of our rituals, God is against America. He's had enough of the pollution and the sin and the leprosy that we're bringing to him. I'm not talking about every church. I'm talking about the pagan, backslidden Babylonian church. The satanic church of America. You know exactly who I'm talking about. The churches that you go to that allow sin to run rampantly. Listen, man is going to sin. There's nothing you can do about it. I want every sinner to come into this place. Come on in, bring your sin with you. But what you're not going to do is flaunt your sin and allow your sin to stay underneath the anointing of the Holy Ghost, because at some point God's going to get you and bless you and bring conviction to you, and your life will change forever. I'm not talking about ritual. We're not talking about some religious activity. We're talking about relationship. Listen, religion is breaking the laws of God, but relationship is breaking the heart of God. And I don't want to break his heart. And if I make a mistake, I can go to him and say, Father, forgive me for my sin. And I thank you for covering me in the blood of Jesus. We're so confused about conviction and condemnation, we don't know what conviction is anymore. You can't tell people this anymore. You can't go to places and preach sin anymore, because people get offended and say, how dare you speak against my sin? Because we made a lifestyle out of it. Our habits have become our little friends. Watch this. Read it again. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, am against thee, and will execute judgment in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations. In the sight of the nations. In other words, God said, I'm going to do this in such a clear way that everybody's going to see it. The Lord spoke this to me while I was getting ready, and I was reading over this and researching, and I want you to hear this, because this is part of the word. He said this. He said, our fall, meaning America, will be the world's wake-up call. This is going to be our Samson moment. With the fall of America, with the fall of democracy, with the fall of the church that is pagan and backslidden, it will be the wake-up call for the nations, and I'm going to prove it to you. You say, Pastor, you sound like you're advocating, and I'm not advocating anything. I want repentance. I want revival. I want man to turn back to God. But it seems as though we're on a slippery slope, and we're headed towards judgment faster than the unlocked wheels of time will allow it. Verse 7, and I will do in thee in that which I have not done, and whereunto I will not do any more, like because of all thine abominations. He said, I'm not going to do any more of the like. Let me tell you how powerful that is. There has never been a destruction of any city since the time of Nebuchadnezzar and General Titus. That which was done to Jerusalem, no city was ravaged, no city had gone through the incredible siege and destruction like they did. God says, I'm going to allow that type to take place to you. I'm going to allow the repeat of history to come to this nation. You say, what does that mean, Pastor? What's all that about? Let's watch it. Let's see it together. Therefore the father shall eat the sons in the midst of thee. And the sons shall eat their fathers, and I'll execute judgment in thee, and the whole remnant of thee will I scatter into all the wind. This is a very hard word to say, but I believe cannibalism will come to America someday. It's happened in history, as I repeated the two incidents. It's happened in other countries, in other nations, in other moments of time in our history. And as far-fetched as it seems to the American population listening to me right now, it will come to America. I'm telling you by the word of the Lord. I don't understand it. I don't desire it. I can't comprehend it. In the land of plenty and all the stuff that we have, but there is a judgment that's coming so strong to this nation that we will be in siege. And I believe it will take place in our country. As shocking as that is, there are many that won't care what I just said. As shocking as that is, there's so much normalcy bias going on right now listening to me that people refuse and reject this reality. But I'm telling you, it's going to take place in America. You say, how is that possible, Pastor? It's possible in so many different ways because we have an enemy at the gate. Do you not know, as I mentioned earlier, that other armies and other countries who we're facing off right now, they have weapons as well, and they have weapons of mass destruction, and they have the ability, and they have friends, and they have associations and allies that could annihilate our nation? Do you recognize and realize that today? Are you in a video game thinking we can reset everything called Call of Duty or some other fantasy game? We have an enemy out there, multiplied enemies that would be willing to destroy us. And we don't understand this because we have the American mindset. We don't think there's somebody that devilish and that crazy who would want to destroy us. Yes, they are, and they're willing to. And God says, I'm going to allow them to do that. Right now, people just not even believing it. There are so many prophecies, I don't have time to go through them all, that speak of the judgment of America by true prophets of God. And it's going to come to America someday. Did you know that experts declare that if an EMP were to take place in America, whether it was from a missile or whether it was from solar, from the sun, that only 10 to 20% could survive? And within days into weeks, hunger would set in. And we don't think that people are going to go crazy. We don't think people are going to go mad. Can I give you two words? Black Friday. That's all you need to remember, Black Friday. They'll knock your teeth out for a stupid plasma TV. Or coffee maker. I'll buy you a coffee maker, not to bust my teeth out. Two of them. Is anybody here today? Clay says, I'll make the coffee too. Clay said, don't get me involved. Is anybody here? And the reality is right here. We have an enemy that wants to kill us and destroy us. Have you forgotten about Iran? Have you forgotten about the Muslim countries? Have you forgotten about the sleeper cells that are in our country right now? Have you forgotten about the North Korean agents that are here and the Russian agents and the Chinese agents and so on and so forth? And you say, well, Pastor, you're trying to make us fearful. I'm trying to wake the church up and wake America up. We have an enemy and we're living unrighteously and we are putting our finger in the face of God and we are daring him. I'm just going to preach this whether you like me or not. I'm just going to go ahead. If I see you Wednesday, I'll see you Wednesday. If you didn't make the trip, I love you. Appreciate you. Send me something down the road once in a while. I'm telling you. Because I'm not going to have the blood of innocent people on my hands. If we go to war, and we are going to go to war, when we do, it's going to be catastrophic. I said this last week, and I know it was a joke, but we're not fighting Puerto Rico. The American mindset does not understand they are godless. They don't have morality. Well, they got to abide by the Warsaw, you know, the NATO. Does anybody remember WW2? Does anybody remember the atrocities? Does anybody understand the carnage of war? Listen, America's been so blessed, we don't understand war in our nation. Oh, we've had a few incidents. Yes, there was loss of life, and I understand that. I'm fully aware of our history and our recent history. But the reality is we've never had an enemy upon our soil like it's coming because of our sin. And I'm sounding the alarm. I'm ringing the bell, and I'm telling you, get your house in order. Get yourself together. Don't stop prepping and quit going to sleep and listening to the multi-million-dollar preachers who are lying to you face-to-face, but behind the scenes, they're getting ready. I don't know how many more hours I got, but I'm almost going to let this thing roll. Say, why, preacher? Why is this going to take place? Look at there again. Verse 9, because of all thine abominations. Do you know what the word abominations means? It means disgusting sins. I won't make some of you mad today, but that's okay. I'm here to do it today, John. We're disgusting in America. We're disgusting in this nation with the sin that goes on television, with the sin that goes on the internet. And we can't find preachers to stand up and say anything about it. And I guarantee there's a few that will be willing to do what I'm about to do and say what I'm about to say. But it's a crying shame we ain't got somebody to be a father to the church and a father within the church. He said abominations, disgusting sins. Well, tell me what's so disgusting and all that stuff. You know, it's just flesh. You know, we were born naked. Honey, they sewed on fig leaves for a reason. Ah! There's a reason when someone opens a door and you're in your birthday suit, you freak. Even if you're married. Ah, I didn't know you was coming. I'm lighting this up, but I'm about to hit you right between your eyeballs. Listen, we're a disgusting nation when you have a man on an airplane masturbating next to a woman and a 14-year-old girl. You're disgusting, America. And what's disgusting about it is ain't nobody stood up and said anything, not even the flight attendant. Yeah, I said masturbating. That's exactly what the man was doing. Where were the men on the plane? Because I'll tell you something, to where I was raised and where I come from, you better excuse this expression. You better get you a new one. Oh, no. See me. Ooh. Ah! Panic alert. Panic alert. Snowflake alert. No, more people get mad at me that I said it than the reality that's what's taking place in America. Where was the people on the airplane? Where was the stewardess or the pilot? The pilot should have just took that thing up in the air real fast and went down real... Made his, cracked that coconut on the top of that ceiling. Is anybody here today? Think with me, America. And God's going to bless America while we got all this craziness going on. Man, I grew up with some rough people. I won't even tell you what happened to that man. Friend of mine wrote to me and said his 14-year-old daughter was in the public library and happened to walk by somebody watching pornography on a public tax-funded computer. Folks, and this is just small little information, what's going on in America. Just was revealed the other day that a teacher was having an affair with a young man in a school. But guess what? That wasn't the only teacher. Somebody else was too. My heart breaks. My heart breaks. And I listened to this and I said, can't there be any righteousness anymore? Can't there be any innocence anymore? Can't there be any love anymore? Bad enough you have to have your children molested by TSA, and then you got to see some freak on an airplane. Oh, I don't know how anybody, I would have found, we'll just go on. But it don't make nobody mad. What makes people mad right now is because I said it. More people offended right now because I said it than the fact that it took place and ain't nobody did nothing until the plane landed. You smoke a cigarette in the lavatory, they're going to throw you off the plane. There's a greater federal law for messing with a smoke detector in the bathroom. See, we're all messed up. Let me tell you why nobody, I don't want to get involved. I just don't want to get involved. See, we don't want to get involved anymore. We don't want to get involved in people's lives. We don't want to get involved with our brothers and our sisters who are going through craziness. We don't want to be there and disciple them. We don't want to call our family and tell them, you're in sin, chickadoo. Or chickadee, whatever you be. We don't. We just, oh, well, you know, I don't really want to bother them. I don't want to get into politics and I don't want to get into this. So who disciples them? It ain't your preacher. It isn't your favorite television program. Well, I don't want to discipline so and so because, you know, because of the past and because of this, and I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. Honey, you got to deal with sin now. I'm just enjoying myself this morning. Are you with me? How many people dialed 911 on Boxcast? Anybody yet? Watch this. Verse 10, therefore the Father shall, I already told you that, didn't I? I should tell it to you again. Verse 11, wherefore as I live, saith the Lord God. I think he's going to live forever. Surely because thou hast defiled my sanctuary with all thy detestable things and with all thy abominations, therefore I also diminish thee. Neither shall mine eye spare, and neither will I have any pity. I understand this is very difficult in the greasy grace type of population that we live in the church today, to think that God will deal with us in such a manner. But the reality is he will absolutely deal with us according to our sin. Watch verse 13. If you think I'm closing, you're wrong. Need to read verse 12 about pestilence. And I can give you the list of judgment that's coming, but I want you to see this. Then shall my anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal when I have accomplished my fury. Moreover, I will make thee waste and a reproach among the nations that are round about thee in the sight of all that pass by. He will use America as a wake-up call for the nations. He is going to use the punishment of this great nation as he did to Israel in ancient times. And the nations will look and say, oh my gosh. When they see our great landmarks destroyed and they see our cities ravished and they see the economy crash, they will gasp for air and unbelief that America the Great, the whore of Babylon, has fallen. Verse 15, I'm closing. And thus shall it be a reproach and a taunt, an instruction. Do you see that? An instruction. I'm going to use this as a lesson. I'm going to use America as an illustrated sermon. An astonishment unto the nations that are round about thee, when I shall execute judgment in thee, in anger and in fury and in furious rebuke, I, the Lord, have spoken it. In verse 16, and when I send upon them the evil arrows of famine, do you know that there are enemies that have evil arrows waiting for this country. How short-minded in memory is the American population when we think about all the enemies of this nation and all of a sudden they're all scattered. The arrows are ready. The weaponry is ready. The missiles are ready. The attack of the enemy is being prepared, which shall be for the destruction which I will send. Who will? God will. He said, I will send to destroy you, and I will increase the famine upon you and will break your staff of bread. Let me camp out here before I close. The staff of bread also represents the economy. It represents your way of making a living. There's coming a day when the economy will collapse and there will be a financial holocaust. And we will see our nation go to its knees. Finally, in verse 7, so I will send upon you famine and evil beast. That word there, evil beast, means brutally men that have no breath of God. Do you really think that your enemies of America are going to be nice when they round up folks? Do you think when they go against our nation overseas on the waterways and through different forms of conflict, however large this conflict gets, do you think they're going to say, yes, ma'am, no, sir, maybe, please, can I have? We haven't fought a real enemy in a very long, long, long time. But I will send upon you famine and evil beast, and they shall bereave thee, and pestilence and blood shall pass through thee, and I will bring the sword upon thee. I, the Lord, have spoken it. War is coming to America. Blood will pass through this nation's streets, just as though blood runs underneath our streets from abortion. There's coming a great exposure to the body of Christ that will be in the form of judgment. Well, I was speaking to Lynn Liaz after the interview by phone. I didn't have a chance to speak this into the interview, but the Lord spoke to me and said, even the beast system will be exposing pastors in the coming days. Even things that were already fixed and forgiven and repented of, they're going to bring things up. There's coming an assault on the church, is what I'm getting at. I asked the Lord, I said, what do we do? I know we're supposed to prepare. We've done all that we can from this pulpit. And I will share it with you every time I hear something from the Lord. If there's something new to do, I will let you know. But here's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, stay true. Stay true to the Bible. Stay true to your relationship with God. No matter what this person says to the left or that person says to the right, stay true to this Bible. If your body, your emotions, your flesh wants you to go another way, stay true to holiness. Because the Bible declares that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. I've given you this warning. You say, Pastor, do you have a time frame? I can't tell you a time frame. I just know it's in motion right now. Right now, we have our ships right at the very doorstep of North Korea. I don't want to say this is a complete correlation, but I find it kind of interesting that we come to the very doorstep of North Korea and we have such a tornado that went through Texas. I think it's a warning. I really believe it's a warning. America, you better use wisdom. Heavenly Father, I delivered your word to your people. I pray for your people that are listening right now. First of all, no fear. Perfect love casts away all fear. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we know that you're for us, Father. If you be for us, who could ever be against us? But you have an ought against America. You've got an issue with this nation. You've got an issue with the church who's polluted your sanctuary and has changed your word to fit our lifestyle. I ask on the behalf of the church in America, God, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us of our disgusting sins that we're committing. It's getting more and more open in America. It's sewage. God, I pray for a mighty revival in the midst of calamity and chaos. It's coming. The winking's over. The time of judgment has come. God, help us today. And I pray for salvation for all of our families. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you all. I'll see you. I love you all. I'll see you. I love you all. I'll see you.